I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve Newell.
2021, BFM running a tight ship.
Ooh, yes, indeed. Now, Steve, it's been beautiful weather. Who's had time to watch any movies?
That's a fantastic question.
Mm. Why would I go inside when I could be outside?
As a panel, as a panel of one responding to this question, I mean, movies are still good. I've watched a few, but hey, look out the window, guys.
I went and saw...
Jules, look out the window.
Yeah,
goodness sake.
Like, well, it's half covered up, Steve. It's like there's a hint of blue sky, a strip of blue sky across the top there. I went and saw Superintelligence. And because I just wanted to be in a nice, cool cinema on a recliner. Mm. And it was like a trip to Seattle. That's the best thing about that movie. It's like Seattle plays a large part of the movie.
Oh,
let's have another shot of Seattle.
Would you say Seattle's almost a character in the movie?
Yes. The high point.
Is Boxing Day still the biggest day at the movies? Like the biggest... number of tickets. Is that a thing? Everyone goes
it's pretty
to
big here on. Because Wonder Woman 1984 opened here on Boxing Day, and that's probably, I mean, since the... Do you guys remember years ago this movie called Tenet came out?
I just remember in 1984, we used to say, I got this, we got this.
Okay, yeah, 1984, okay.
It was a while ago, 1984.
Yeah, 1984. I just about watched that last night, but I thought, hey, I don't have time. I want to go to bed before midnight.
Yeah, block out the time for that one and block out sort of, you know, block out time when you've got that thinking space available because you don't want to go in snoozy to that one. But people have gone to see Wonder Woman 1984 and the first one's good and this one's not quite as good, but we're not here to talk about that.
What are we talking
about? For
goodness
sake.
Are we talking about a thriller?
We're talking about new things that are coming out, not things that came out like just over 1 week ago. That's outrageous.
A revenge thriller?
Yes. This contains a content warning. Will there be some discussion of sexual assault in this review? Promising Young Woman opens in cinemas tomorrow. This is pretty interesting film starring Carrie Mulligan. She plays a woman who, let me put this the right way because my brain just stopped. I'm not used to talking about movies, John. Mm. This is, I stopped being able to do it.
You've been on holiday,
I've
mate.
Been on holiday. As the film opens, she is passed out in a bar, and luckily there's a really nice guy there to take her home, make sure she gets home safely. But he turns out to be a bit of a creep, and all of this is in the trailer, so it's fairly mild on the spoiler front. Takes her back to his apartment, where it turns out that she hasn't been intoxicated, but she is very delighted, or at least satisfied, to have proved that he is a massive creep. And as the film progresses, you find out that she has been doing this for some time, and it's a sexual assault revenge film. Mm-hmm. Weirdly blackly comic. Like, it opens on it's got a great pop soundtrack. It opens on a remix of Charlie XCX's Boys, where the camera kind of pervily shoots men in khakis and bad trousers in the same way that it would shoot women wearing not enough clothing in a club in a music video, i.e. you get some lols out the gate. But the film becomes more than just a kind of Me Too or post-Me Too era revenge comedy. It's got a pretty incisive point to make, and boy, it's one that will have you talking about the film when it finishes.
What level of revenge is she going for?
There's a lot about the film that's really ambiguous. It's unclear whether... It's unclear to what extent physical harm is inflicted on people in the film. It kind of plays with that a little bit in ways that I won't spoil. But there's a lot that you kind of try to piece together after watching the film. It's definitely a strangely entertaining good time for something that has some problematic content. When the first trailer for this came out, it really focused on that opening sequence, and it looked like a film that was very much going to even though it was pro-woman, be like borderline exploitative in the way that it used trauma to get people watching a film. But the film's got a much more of a complex and comic tone than just that. It's definitely not along the same lines as the show I May Destroy You from last year, which was a pretty sustained and comprehensive examination of trauma. Different product entirely, but yes. We went to see it not at a media screening, but at a sneak screening for the public. And from the chatter at the candy bar, there are a lot of people there that didn't know what film, like didn't know much about the film they're about to see, which I think in the context of this one, you do need to know what you're going into. This is, it's pretty impactful in some of its content. Then the buzz in the cinema afterwards was super positive. So as a frequent benefactor of a media screening, it's actually great to see a film for the first time with, you know, ordinary people.
Yeah, nice.
So I recommend this one, but I think it's good to check out the trailers for this film to see if it's up your alley. Okay. But it's definitely, it's the film that, A, people are going to be talking about after seeing it, but B, if they start talking to you about it, tell them to shut up because there's a whole bunch about it that you're better off not knowing until you actually see the film.
Okay.
And we get to go watch it in cinemas, so
awesome.
Go do it.
And streaming services.
Yes, well, look, gosh, 2021, there's all these streaming services. It's been tough to commit a ton of time to this, but I did find myself unable to resist the impulse to watch the Nicolas Cage-hosted show History of Swear Words. Content warning, there will be some discussion of swear words over the next few minutes. Nicolas Cage is hosting a show. It's based on the book of the same name, but each episode examines the meaning, history, and usage of an individual swear word. And I can't tell if Cage is phoning it in, having a great time, or both, which means it's kind of like his best films, I guess.
Is he travelling around talking to people?
Picture this, if you will. Nicolas Cage is sitting in a gentleman's den. There's a stack of books to one side, a globe to another. He's in an armchair.
For the listeners, Jules' eyes are closed.
Yeah, I'm sold, man. Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm there. I'm gonna watch it.
Let's throw to a little bit of I've got a little audio grab for context. So this is from the first episode of the season.
Of all the swear words in the English language, none is as malleable as fuck. It's capable of expressing the full range of human emotion. The pain, the wonder, the unlawful carnal knowledge in a single soul. Fuck. Or we can say it like this. Fuck!
I mean, you're either in or you're out based on that, right?
And I think I watched Leaving Las Vegas right after it.
So there's six episodes in the season. I've just watched the first one, which is titled Fuck. He's joined by guests. He's joined by a few. There'll be like a linguistic expert, a history expert, and then a whole bunch of Rent-A-Crowd celebs like Sarah Silverman or Nick Offerman, Jim Jefferies.
Okay, all right.
It's good. This is very easy watching. It's the episodes clock in at about 20 minutes. I can see myself, all that time you spend thinking, should I be watching something better? I could just watch six episodes of History of Swear Words.
Who else pops up in the series? Do you know? Ricky Gervais? Larry David?
No. Well, I was probably a little bit unkind to say Rent-A-Crowd, but you know how when you're watching like VH1 Behind the Music or just any of those like those long-running shows, it's like, you're back again.
All your favourite faces.
You've obviously done 2 days taping a whole bunch of interview segments.
Sarah Silverman is classic Rent-A-Crowd.
She's also classic swearer. Big swearer.
Yeah, swearer Silverman, am I right?
Whoa!
Hey now. See you later, guys.
Okay, we're not topping that. Thanks, Joyce.
Mic drop.
So, there we go. There's something to watch at home, something to watch in cinemas. Things look like they're going to be getting busier again on the movie front here, even if they're not elsewhere. So a bunch of good stuff to come.
Excellent. All right, mate. Cheers, Steve.
Fuck.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.